Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
It's a historic day for Georgia Power. The company is closing Plant Branch in Baldwin County. Plant Branch supplied energy to Middle Georgia for 50 years. The Georgia Power plant sits in between Baldwin and Putnam counties. It opened in 1965 on Lake Sinclair and has hired more than 450 employees. The company is turning off the power grids tonight at midnight.
Citizens around Plant Branch won't see any decrease in their service. We'll be able to be there and meet their generating needs following the retirement of the plant.
Green says Georgia Power decided to close the Plant Branch in 2013 to meet the EPA's compliance regulations.
And unfortunately, that is the news that is beginning to be heard across the country with the closing of power plants, and that is coal-burning power plants, affordable energy, and there is no replacement for them. And the U.S. Chamber wrote an article in March as that the grid is in threat as these power plants come offline. You're listening to News in Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long, and on today we have a special program to focus on the war on coal and the EPA regulations and the effect that it's going to have for you and I in the cost of electricity that's going to skyrocket and have less availability and reliability of electricity due to taking coal-burning power plants offline. And with us on the phone to talk about this more is the chairman and president and CEO of Murray Energy, Mr. Bob Murray, and Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Glad to be with you.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Well, it's great to have you back, Mr. Murray and Jim. And, of course, this news just continues. Each week we hear more bad news about coal-burning power plants being taken offline. And this is a generation that does not understand what this is going to mean for the future of the reliability of the electric grid as affordable, reliable coal-burning power plants are taken offline. And here was a story in Georgia just this last month. And this story is repeating across the country in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and across the nation. There are some on the left that are applauding this, but really, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce sent an article out, a report in March, and they're sending warnings that the grid will be less reliable. And in our here's a power plant that was online for a half a century, 400 people thrown out of work. It doesn't tell you the details of that story of how that's going to affect that local economy with those people being thrown out of work. And, of course, what that's going to mean for the rest of us in higher utility bills. Mr. Murray.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely correct. The average American does not realize what is in store in terms of skyrocketing electric rates, unreliable electric power supplies, the lack of availability of electric power. In this power grab by President Barack Obama and every Democrat that I know in Washington that supports him, they are destroying low-cost electricity, reliable electricity for people on fixed incomes, people who can afford these increases the least, and for any manufacturer of a product for the global marketplace. He depends on low-cost electricity. It's a staple of life, Chris. I call what is going on a political power grab of America's power grid.
Mm.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the environment or so-called global warming. The Earth has actually cooled for 18 years and 8 months now. Actually cooled. What it is a political power grab of the power grid, bypassing the states themselves, the utility commissions of the states, that are entrusted with assuring that we have low-cost, reliable power supplies, bypassing the U.S. House of Representatives, the law, and the Constitution of the United States, and putting the U.S. EPA in charge of the electric power supply for people on fixed incomes, and in this country going forward. People don't realize that Americans only react to crises. The crises will hit. Of course, Obama will be out making his trillions of dollars somewhere else.
Mm.
And we're going to be left with a mess in this country. The disaster is coming. This is something that I have done for 58 years. I know the electric power industry. I know what's happening. The utilities, a year ago, last month, doubled the incremental power price for 17 and 18. That's power they sell among themselves. So it isn't something that I'm speculating is going to happen. It already has. But people don't realize what's coming at them because of this global goofiness over so-called global warming.
Well, you know, the U.S. Chamber, there are people that look by the numbers. And when we look at the other sources for power, wind, solar, natural gas, the numbers just don't add up. As you take off coal producing electric plants, there's not enough to replace them. So those who are living in la-la land about that, well, we can just have wind generation, or we can have solar, or we can have gas. There's, by the numbers, by the U.S. Chamber's report in March, there's not enough of them coming online in time to replace the subtraction of the coal-producing electric plants that are coming offline. I mean, in dramatic fashion. This is the war on coal, ladies and gentlemen, that we're talking about. And it's going to be a war on you and I in our pocketbooks. Jim, you represent seniors across the country here in Ohio with the 60-plus association. The seniors are talking to you, and they're expressing their concerns. They get it. They understand this. Share with us.
Oh, yeah, and we did a study. Of course, Bob knows this. We did a study among seniors, and they're alarmed to the nth degree because of what's going on right now. The war on coal, we started calling it a war on seniors because their pocketbooks are impacted more than any other segment. But, you know, to follow up on what Bob just said about the goofiness, this climate change agenda out there, they're trying to do by regulation what the president could not get through with legislation. And, you know, you take away coal, guess what happens? You're not just taking away coal jobs. You're taking away car dealerships. You're taking away donations to the Little League. You're taking away how you pay for schools. Young people are leaving. They're not coming back. You shut down coal plants, guess what the rest of the world is doing? The rest of the world is aggressively building new coal plants because that gives them reliable, affordable energy. It's a travesty in the making. The EPA has got to be stopped. I got to tell you something, Mr. Murray. I know you're in court right now carrying the battle to the courts to fight the EPA. Well, I got some refreshing good news. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Mitch McConnell. And in just 4 months, he's changed the way the Congress is working. And he has already said, he said publicly and repeatedly, two of his top priorities are to prevent the EPA's power grab to force the states to adopt this clean power plan and also eliminating the death tax. And for the first time in 6 years, there's a budget resolution on tap. There are going to be 12 separate appropriation bills for the first time in many Congresses. So this is going to be hugely important in beating the EPA's war on coal. Because quite frankly, and by the way, your congressman there, Bill Johnson, he's on the Energy Committee. Morgan Griffith of Virginia, where I'm at. Phil Rowe, a Tennessee congressman. They're all working hand in glove to stop the power grab by the EPA.
And speaking of that, Jim, with us on the line is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. He's just joined us. Congressman, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chris and Jim and Mr. Murray. Good to be with you this afternoon.
Congressman, as Jim was just laid out, of course, the concern for seniors and what we've learned as more power plants are coming offline. And we led today with a story in Georgia where a power plant closed just last week, 400 jobs lost. But it also has the residual effect for that community. But then all of us is a less reliable power grid as we go on in the future, and then higher utility bills for families and seniors. Congressman, what are your constituents saying?
My constituents are very, very concerned about this, Chris. You know, I think I've mentioned to you before, I've had manufacturers come to me and say that the utility companies have approached them about idling their plant for a day because they don't have enough energy on the grid already to meet the peak power demand in some of these frigid winters and in the heat of the summer that we have here. You know, just recently, we're talking about the Clean Power Plan. we had Congressman Ed Whitfield's Ratepayer Protection Act pass out of our committee, and that legislation is designed to give the states an opt out. And we are certainly encouraging Governor John Kasich, when that bill gets through the Senate, and hopefully it will, to give them an opt out of this deal, and also to extend the deadline and not force the states to develop these clean power plans until all the litigation has gone through, because we already know that the courts, I mean, the EPA is on very, very thin ice here. I don't believe personally that they have the authority and the jurisdiction to do what they're doing. What the EPA is doing is absolutely wrong, not just for the coal industry. It's devastating to the coal industry, but it's devastating to consumers and business owners and residential customers as well.
Well, I know that's good news for you, Mr. Murray. Jim, hearing what the congressman is doing, and again, we do need to get the Governor Kasich involved in this. This is important on the state side. In fact, there was a report that we had on a previous program. What if the states just say no to climate rule change?
And let me tell you somebody, Chris, that is saying no. I just got back from a week-long trip to Europe, and I found out something while I was there that was a bit shocking and surprising. You know, Europe has been buying into this climate change deal a lot quicker than we here in America have been falling for this charade. And when I was in Portugal and Belgium and Ukraine, we asked, what is your current energy portfolio mix? We were shocked. I was to learn that that after investing billions and billions of American dollar equivalents into the creation of alternative energies and renewables and natural gas, some of those countries, like Portugal, for example, they are increasing their portfolio and their use of coal. And when I asked why that was the case, they said, look, our business owners and our people, our customers, have reached a tipping point where they are no longer willing to pay these exorbitantly high prices for energy. Because, you know, the theory here is what they're trying to do is make coal so unaffordable that it makes these high-cost renewables and alternative energy forms that are so dadgum expensive the more cost-effective alternative, and they are outrageously high. So I also asked the head of the energy union in Belgium, how can you achieve a 40% reduction in carbon emissions, which is what their goal is, when you are going back and increasing your use of coal? I said, I'm glad you're doing that, but I'm just curious about your philosophy here. He said, Congressman, what you've got to realize is that we have done systematically over the last 20 years what your president is trying to do now in shutting down a lot of the coal-fired power. And they're going back to it in Europe, Chris. So I don't understand why our president and why our EPA and our senior officials in Washington can't learn from the lessons in Europe. Coal remains the most affordable, most reliable form of energy on the planet, and we need to get our heads out of the sand and realize that, and realize that that's what it's going to take to put America's innovative engine back in gear.
Well, that's right. In this current younger generation, there's almost been an indoctrination against coal, but coal has come a long way with clean-burning coal, with scrubbers at the plants, and a lot of efficiency in burning coal. So as the industry has really done a lot, they're not being rewarded. They're actually being punished. This is what the offset is here. It doesn't even make any sense. Mr. Murray, you're firsthand, you're getting, you know, you're the industry spokesman that's getting hit hardest with this.
Well, that is correct. The United States coal industry is being absolutely destroyed. Prior to Mr. Obama, 52% of our electricity came from coal. For your listeners, this is a very important common thread that goes through what has been said. Coal-fired electric power costs 4 cents a kilowatt hour at the bus bar. The wind and solar that Mr. Obama and his Democrat supporters espouse is 22 cents a kilowatt hour. And on top of that, you taxpayers give them another $24 a kilowatt hour in subsidies. It's 5.5 times more expensive even without the subsidy. And that is why Europe and Australia and other countries that tried to eliminate the use of coal found out they couldn't. They could not afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize this. It's not only just a reliability issue that people are going to get cold in the dark.
Well, we're talking...
Operating rooms are not going to have electricity when they need it. And it's a matter of the cost. And what Congressman Johnson has explained has happened in numerous countries around the world. That is why Murray Energy filed these 4 lawsuits against the U.S. EPA.
Hmm.
I've been joined in those lawsuits by 15 states, 15 of our states, including Ohio. I've joined in these lawsuits. But the problem is they set the timetable for the compliance with the state implementation plans by the electric utilities such that these court cases will not be decided until after they must comply. And that is why, as Jim Martin said, and the congressman alluded to, these states must be encouraged not to file their state implementation plans to comply with the Obama Clean Power Plan, which is really global goofiness. And because they know that they forced them to comply faster than the courts can stop them. We know, as the congressman said, it's totally illegal what they did. I've been carrying the freight for these 15 states on these lawsuits. We know all 4 of them will win. But the timetable, the courts are so slow, and the implementation plans are so fast that we just have to urge these states, if not by legislation even in the states, to stop and not allowing the states to file these plans to acquiesce to an illegal ruling from the U.S. EPA and the Obama administration.
I want to go back to what Congressman Johnson said, because I believe that that's a harbinger of a storm that's coming. Here you're talking to people in Europe, Congressman, who have already been, that for years they've been implementing this kind of faulty policy of, you know, the EPA kind of regulations over there, getting rid of coal. And now their businesses cannot sustain production and development and getting their product to market with the high utility costs. And so somebody's listening to us today, Bob, Jim, and they're saying, well, I haven't seen a big spike in my electric bill. Well, a storm is coming, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, what's interesting here is that they're keeping electric rates artificially low right now, even as these coal-burning power generating plants are coming offline. And, of course, the Sierra Club, who is really one of the culpable people here and is cheering these coal-burning plants coming offline. And they have this ad out there, this goofy ad, and celebrating over 185 coal-burning plants have come offline. They said, we're ahead of schedule, but they are not a reliable organization. Here is a report from Fox News, and it's titled, Tricked. North Carolina businesses challenge Sierra Club over the signatures on petition to close the power plant. It says a leading national watchdog group monitoring nonprofits has put the Sierra Club on its watch list after reports that 3 Western North Carolina businesses accused the Green Group of listing them without their permission as co-signers on a business Beyond Coal campaign letter. So here, they didn't even have the authorization of these businesses they listed to this letter. And so this is not really a reliable group, to say the least, and yet they're the ones leading the charge in closing these power plants.
Well, you're exactly right, Chris. And, you know, when I was in Europe, one of the overriding messages that came through, they are begging. Our friends and allies in Europe are begging for America to lead politically, to lead economically, and to lead on the energy front. They are asking and begging for America to lead. You know, I've spent a lot of time with Murray Energy and our coal producers around the nation. And I can tell you that nobody wants to make coal cleaner and better for Americans than the producers do. And I believe that had there not been such downward pressure from the federal government in these bogus regulations, many of them requiring compliance technologies that aren't even commercially available, that combined with taxes and fines and fees, the coal industry would long ago have cleared the hurdle on addressing many of the concerns that the Sierra Group and others have. They're not irresponsible operators. They are as concerned about the air that we breathe and the water that we drink because their families live in those regions as well. And so what's going on here is just a smoke and mirrors game with these environmental groups that and our president is backing them up. And we're just going to have to keep bringing this before the American people. And I think I couldn't hear Jim very well, but I think he said there's a new sheriff in town now that we've got some help over in the Senate. I hope and pray that our Senate colleagues stand with us this year and next year as we move forward in trying to enact legislation that's going to rein the EPA in. And, of course, as Mr. Murray mentioned, the lawsuits are going to be continuing on, and we're going to have to highlight that to the American people as well.
Well, Jim,
let me congratulate you on what you're doing, working with your energy committee and obviously with Ed Whitfield, with Hal Rogers of Eastern Kentucky, where I grew up. The appropriations process is going to be dominant with the new leadership that you guys are showing in the House, but also the new sheriff in the Senate is Mitch McConnell, and he said it repeatedly. His top priorities will be to prevent the EPA's power grab of the power grid, as Mr. Murray says, and also to eliminate the death tax. And let me tell you, Bob, I think you mentioned on a previous show that the World Bank and the IMF is refusing to invest in coal-related businesses, part of this climate goofiness that's going on. I call it a perverse policy that we practice here in the United States, the land of the free. We're shutting down coal-fired plants while other countries around the world are building coal-fired plants as rapidly as they can. That's a perverse policy. It's a sadistic policy, if you will. You're putting proud coal miners out of work to satisfy a far-left agenda of the Obama administration. And by the way, just so you know this, Bob, you've got some Democratic allies now, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, working with Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. She said recently she and Joe Manchin, two leading Democrats, they introduced a series of bills recently about this issue, and Senator Heitkamp has flat out said while 40% of the electricity around the country is due to coal, in her state of North Dakota, nearly 80% of electricity is generated by coal. So there's another ally that Senator McConnell can count on. And by the way, we sent a letter to the senator recently. About 40 different groups signed a letter to McConnell thanking him for sending his letter to all those to the 50 governors. By the way, Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon has been leading the charge out in Oklahoma against the EPA. And again, our group, 60 Plus Association, we signed that letter along with the Buckeye Institute, also the Kentucky Institute, Bluegrass Institute, and other groups, urging and thanking the senator for taking the lead on this particular issue. Again, senior citizens are impacted more than any other segment of our society because they spend so much money, an inordinate amount of their income, on the basics, food, medicine, if you will, and now their utilities are going to skyrocket.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Bob Murray of Murray Energy, Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association, and Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. We're talking about the war on coal and talking about a voice of reliability. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear from Mr. Pat Boone. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
WHKW Cleveland, bringing the word to Northern Ohio. AM 1220, The Word. a service of Salem Media Group.
A Madisonville woman accused of voting twice in last November's election tonight strongly denies committing voter fraud.
Meloise Richardson was convicted of voter fraud and sentenced to 5 years in prison. This is just one of the reports that surfaced in the aftermath of the 2012 presidential election. The 2016 presidential election is quickly approaching, and one thing is clear, that the battleground state of Ohio will play a large role in determining who will be the next president. Join us Thursday, June 4th at the Galaxy Banquet Center in Wadsworth for the OCA Spring Freedom Banquet with noted author John Fund of the Wall Street Journal. John has written extensively on voter fraud. Voter fraud is a growing problem in Ohio, and John will share with us what we as Ohioans can do about it. To register, phone 330-887-1922 or log on to ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And today we're talking about the war on coal. And with us on the phone is Mr. Bob Murray of Murray Energy, Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association, and Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. And just joining us is legendary singer Pat Boone, who is a voice of reliability across the country. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you. Well, I like that legendary. I now join Johnny Appleseed and Paul Bunyan. Anyway, good to be with you, and it's a vital, vital topic.
It is, and we thank you for the work that you've been doing and working with 60 Plus Association and Bob Murray of Murray Energy and, of course, Congressman Johnson. And this is an important issue that Americans really are just learning about because this is a new reality. I mean, the Obama administration has conducted the war on coal. He's fulfilling a promise that he said that he would do as a candidate, that you can build a power coal-burning power plant, but you know you won't be able to use it.
Right. He said that in his early campaigning. I mean, he campaigned on that, and it's one of the few promises that he's kept, and he's trying to destroy the coal business.
He really is, and what we've been talking about today is, of course, this report from the U.S. Chamber of Congress. Commerce that really the numbers just don't add up. As you take coal producing power plants offline, what is replacing them with wind and solar and gas, it's just not enough to replace the grid. And so the U.S. Chamber is sending a warning of less reliability of the electric grid in years to come. And of course, there is an artificial leveling of the prices right now. So consumers aren't seeing it, Jim. When we're talking about this, they trust us in what we're saying. But with Congressman Johnson, what you said about in Europe, they're ahead of us, and now they're going back to coal because they just basically can't compete in the marketplace with their business. And this is going to just spell a disaster for not only residents and seniors and families, but also businesses across the country.
They are going back to coal, Chris. And, you know, we had a hearing this week. You're talking about reliability. We had a hearing this week where we had an opportunity to question not members of the EPA, but the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I think the gentleman's name was Mr. Bardee. And I asked him specifically about the reliability issue. You know, I said, you know, you're going to take these coal-fired power plants or your boss is going to try to take these coal-fired power plants offline. It takes years, sometimes a decade to bring a new source of energy online. I said, can you tell me, do you agree that there's a very real difference when you're talking about energy capacity and energy reliability? There's a very real difference. I mean, you know, the wind only produces energy when the wind blows, and the sun only produces energy when the sun shines. And we've yet to determine how to store up that energy and be able to roll it forward and put it on the grid and save it. That's why coal-fired power is such a is such an important part of our portfolio. But I finally got him at the end of our questioning to essentially agree that reliability and capacity are two different things. You might have a you might have a wind farm or a solar panel that can produce X megawatts of power, but it's not sustainable. And so the reliability is definitely a major, major issue with this plan that the Obama administration is going to. And let me say one other thing, because Jim said it earlier, and I know that that Pat and Mr. Murray will agree with this. This is essentially a war on seniors, because it's seniors that are in their retirement years. And remember, we've got 10,000 baby boomers that are retiring every day in this country. They're on fixed incomes. They're the ones that are going to suffer the most as these skyrocketing energy costs hit.
Well, that's right. And especially families as well that are just getting started. Some of our adult children just getting married and having families, and they're on a fixed budget as well. And they're counting coupons and every dollar that comes in every month. And they're trying, they can't afford basically the rising price at the pump. And then, of course, to see utility costs increase, this is going to really hit families hard. So this really is a hit on the American public. And that's why we're sending the alarm today. And again, we're going to give you some information and action items of what we can do. Congressman Johnson, you're working with your colleagues in Congress and on the Senate side. Jim, as you said, we have a new sheriff in town in the Senate now that Harry Reid's been retired and Mitch McConnell's there. He's from a coal-producing state. Tell us some of the work that they're doing in Congress.
Well, let me make a point that Bob Murray made earlier about the cost of coal being 4 cents per kilowatt hour and this green energy 22 cents per kilowatt hour. That goes to the heart of what Bill Johnson was talking about a while ago in Europe. Was it Germany, I believe, a few years ago, they switched to solar, and suddenly their prices started doubling and tripling. Guess what they did? They listened to their constituents, and they switched back to coal-fired plants. And
yep,
one other point I'd make, the Wall Street Journal just recently, and I'm sure Bob Murray knows this, the Wall Street Journal had a story earlier this month. They talked about a Navajo reservation out in Arizona. The environmentalists filed a federal lawsuit about 10 years ago, shutting down a nearby coal plant. Guess what happened? It cost a lot of Navajo jobs. What's happened in the meantime in the 10 years since then? Nothing, really. The activists said they would help these tribes develop clean energy jobs. I got news for you. About 90% of those jobs were held by Navajos. The unemployment rate already is over 50% there, and one of the young Navajo Indians, a Travis Francisco, 35 years old, he supports a family of six. He said, "We Navajos are wondering what to do next because coal, quote, is a major part of our resource." Now we're talking, Bob, about a reservation stretching over miles and miles across Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. And what that does is, what's happening to coal in other parts of the country where I'm from, eastern Kentucky? Over 10,000 jobs lost in the last couple of years due to these EPA regulations.
That is correct.
And they're up in arms about it, I'll tell you that right now.
Let me add to that, Jim. Every coal mining job, according to university studies, there are 11 jobs in the communities for each coal job, up to 11. And in the case of Murray Energy, it is 11. So for every job that we lose in the coal mines, that's really 12 in the community. Natural gas is being promoted to produce electricity. Natural gas cannot be stored at the power plant. Coal is a hydrocarbon that can be stored at the power plant. Natural gas is not a reliable supplier for the base-loaded grid. The base grid, it will never be. The price is volatile. It has to be piped for hundreds, thousands of miles away. It is not there when we need it because we don't burn the same amount of electricity at 2 o'clock in the morning as we do on a hot summer afternoon.
Right.
So it fluctuates. It's up and down. And you need a fuel source that is in that plant that can fuel that plant as the grid needs dictate, up and down. Gas cannot fill that. Yet, we're seeing more and more coal-fired plants. Obama has now closed 411 coal-fired plants, the 4 cents a kilowatt-hour electricity, while he promotes his 22% wind and solar. Natural gas is 15 cents. When you take coal out, you not only eliminated jobs and family livelihoods for people who want to work in honor and dignity. And I'm in the coal fields today in my office. And it is not the America that I cherish. Mm. When I see so many lives are being destroyed by people who just want to work, I see that every day in my own industry. But ladies and gentlemen, who are your listeners, need to understand they're going to pay in their electric bills. And they're going to flip the light switch, and it's not going to be there. And they don't know it yet. And we keep sounding the alarm, but we need to have everyone aware that this global goofiness, if you shut down every coal-fired plant in the country, you would only affect the temperature worldwide by 0.02%, virtually nothing. It is a facade. It is a hoax. It is an environmental story that has been made up to create alarmism. And what it really is a political power grab of America's power grid. If you wanted to get control of this country in a diabolical way or an evil way, get control of the reliability, the availability, and the cost of electricity. And you have transformed this country. And that is what Barack Obama and every Democrat that supports him, including ARP, is about.
Hmm. Pat, this is what you've been talking about. All this based on a faulty science of global warming. And it really is a power grab to take away our freedoms.
It is. It is that. It is, you know, it is unfortunately similar to what the government did with throttling our oil production in this country and making us subservient to Saudi Arabians who take all of our money and then and support terrorism. I mean, it is a very perverse situation. I'm thinking back to when DDT was billionized, made out to be an absolute poison, and the government made farmers and agricultural people quit using DDT.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it was not the poison that they were presenting it to be, and our crops and other products have suffered because they took that simple plan away. I want to interject a note because people know that I'm a deeply spiritual guy, but to me, being deeply spiritual, that is connected to the creator of everything, is practical. And God gave America all the great resources, more than any other country. I think we probably have more coal than anybody. We can produce more oil than the Arab nations. We have the reserves. We know that we have them, and we're throttling our own resources and crippling ourselves. And the reason I mention God and Creator is because everything He created is for a purpose. And why did He give America oil? Why did He give America coal? Because He knew we'd need it. Because He knew our society, our way of life would flourish. Sure, the cars produce pollution, things like that, but then you work at that, not the source of the energy. You work at how do you decrease pollution. When I first came to Los Angeles, 56 years ago, so I could do movies and television and recording in one place and let my kids stay in one place, but I dreaded it because I'd heard about it and I'd experienced some of the smog when I was out here, when I first came in the late 50s. And it was painful to eyes. It was painful for breathing. Everybody knew it was a problem. But instead of doing away with the source of energy, they went to work on how to clean up the air, which we have done. and so now we're America, California, though we run most businesses out of the state through taxation.
Yes.
We have clean air here now in California. We have the energy, but we're not, but the government is making sure that we have to pay out here right now almost $4 a gallon for regular, and this president wants to make sure we don't have coal at all, instead of saying what can we do more effectively to reduce pollution, because we need that great natural resource. America has more than anybody in the world. And yet we're going to strangle ourselves not using what we have. I mean, it's criminal. It's just really more than criminal. It's insane.
It is indeed. We are talking to Bob Murray of Murray Energy, Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association, Mr. Pat Boone, and Congressman Bill Johnson. We're talking about the war on coal and the EPA regulations and what it's going to mean for you and me with higher utility costs and less reliability of the electric grid in the years to come. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
A Madisonville woman accused of voting twice in last November's election tonight strongly denies committing voter fraud.
Meloise Richardson was convicted of voter fraud and sentenced to 5 years in prison. This is just one of the reports that surfaced in the aftermath of the 2012 presidential election. The 2016 presidential election is quickly approaching, and one thing is clear, that the battleground state of Ohio will play a large role in determining who will be the next president. Join us Thursday, June 4th at the Galaxy Banquet Center in Wadsworth for the OCA Spring Freedom Banquet with noted author John Fund of the Wall Street Journal. John has written extensively on voter fraud. Voter fraud is a growing problem in Ohio, and John will share with us what we as Ohioans can do about it. To register, phone 330-887-1922 or log on to ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org.
And we're back. We're talking about the war on coal and the EPA regulations and what it's going to mean for you and me hitting our pocketbook, and again, with the less reliability of the electric grid in years to come. Congressman Johnson, as you mentioned, really as a harbinger, talking to the folks in Europe, and they're going back to coal because they have tried this experiment on this faulty belief that this was hitting the environment. But yet they're going back to coal as a reliable source for electricity. But there's a political element to this as well. When I think about the coal-producing plants in Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, these are blue-collar workers that this is hitting. These are hitting these towns extremely hard. And what is your Democratic colleagues saying? Because when I look at the face of the protest of those who are coming and trying to lobby their legislators, when these power plants are coming offline and when it's hitting these communities hard, it's hitting these people hard. These are really what the Democratic Party have said for years is their constituency, but they seem to be turning their backs on them.
Well, they are. Many, many of the labor groups in Ohio who work for manufacturing companies, who work for construction companies, many of the folks who helped put Barack Obama in office in 2008, have now come around to see that the anti blue collar policies of this administration, particularly the war on coal, is hurting them and their ability to provide jobs and opportunities for their members. Look, you know what we're trying to do here, and we've got an initiative in the House of Representatives called the Architecture of Abundance, and we're trying to forward policies that are going to create a healthy economy, promote more opportunities for the American people, and I can tell you right now that that includes coal as a major part of our overall energy profile. I did not mention the Ukraine earlier. You know, the Ukraine has got a serious problem because a lot of their energy comes from coal. Unfortunately, some 65 of their nearly 100 coal mines are now in the conflict area with the Russians, and the Russians have cut off a lot of their coal supply. So the Ukrainian people are in dire straits in terms of having enough coal to put energy on their grid. So there is a very, very real geopolitical element of America's ability to lead on the energy front. Vladimir Putin and others, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, others are sitting watching what America's doing with our policies, not only to our own people, but to our energy policies across the global market. And they're looking to see what we're going to do. And the decisions that we make can have very real consequences to a nation like Russia, for example, that gets 50% of its tax revenue from selling energy resources to our friends and allies. So that's what I meant earlier when I said they are begging America to lead politically, economically, and on the energy front.
And 2015 seems to be the year that this is all coming to a head. The administration through the EPA bureaucracy is targeting 2015 to take a lot more coal-burning power plants off the grid. Mr. Murray, you're seeing this firsthand. I sense the urgency and hear the urgency in your voice. Sir, what are you seeing on the ground?
Yes, I'm seeing 411 coal-fired units closed by the end of 16. That is 101,000 megawatts of 4 cent a kilowatt hour electricity, while he talks about replacing it with 22 cent wind and solar with the subsidy on top of it, and that's if the wind blows and the sun shines. I see disaster for America. I see disaster for people on fixed income and the fellow that is trying to manufacture a product and needs low-cost electricity to compete in the global marketplace. People don't realize what's coming. They've got to see this. Obama will be gone, making his billions some other way. And there's going to be a fallout and a disaster because electricity is an absolute staple of life. And reliable electricity we must have.
Bill, you're talking with your colleagues about this in Washington. Do they get the picture of what's happening out there in middle America with this war on coal?
Well, I can tell you that our colleagues on the Republican side certainly do. And I'll confess that there are some of our colleagues on the Democrat side. But the president has done a good job of selling this false narrative about climate change. And don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not trying to debate the science of climate change. What I'm saying is that, you know, Washington can't even balance the budget, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. What makes them think that they can manage the weather? You know, I know Pat and Jim and you will relate to this. I got news for you. The weather started changing on day 8, and it's never stopped changing ever since then. It's a fact of life.
Yeah.
And for us to be cutting off our nose to spite our face the way that some of these folks are insisting that we do, it is just absolutely irresponsible. And what is so frustrating is when you start getting into the economics of the situation, in talking with the EPA, the likes of Gina McCarthy and the people that work for her in the Environmental Protection Agency, they are not concerned, and they will tell you straight up that their concern is not the economics. Their concern is the cleanness of the air or the cleanness of the water, and they forget that we have to breathe that air too. We have to drink that water too. Our children and our grandchildren do, And for them to assume that we don't care and that our coal producers don't care is a false narrative, and it creates this we they attitude here, and it's difficult to get any kind of legislation through our Democratic friends because the president comes on board and he starts bringing in his big lobbying groups like the Sierra Club and all of their money, and it makes it very difficult. Here's something
could I jump in one quick second?
Yeah, please do. We have about a minute and a half left. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I want to salute Mr. Murray. he may take a lot of hits from some people, but you know there's a real worry that some kind of explosion in the upper atmosphere could blow out our power grid. And there's, you know, people who watch the news know that that's a possibility. America would come to a stop. We'd be returned to the caveman era. And it is coal and it is petroleum that keep our country going and supply electricity and every other kind of energy. So I want to thank this patriot, Mr. Murray, for keeping our country going and amidst all the vilification. He's been a brave contributor to America's way of life, and if you think the power grid blowing out would be bad, just wait till they do away with coal.
Well, that's right. Well, thank you, Pat. Thank you, Mr. Murray. Thank you, Congressman Johnson and Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association. Great roundtable today. We're going to do it again, gentlemen, and we'll give you some information, folks, at our website at ohioca.org and also 60plus.org, and where you can find out more information about this important subject of the war on coal. Thanks for being with us today.
News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.